Okay, everybody, workday is over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Aaron Rodgers is back, right? He's invested now. He's locked in. Pat, R-E-L-A-X, broke it open in the second half, making some of those incredible Aaron Rodgers throws. Maybe he realizes he's not getting the Jeopardy gig, so he might as well engage in the football season. Got that yesterday on Monday Night Football.
I'll say this, and I know he was a little bit bristly in his post-game press conference.
A little bit? We'll get to that in a second.
I'll just say this. I do think it's hard when you know when the end is here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's hard to remain emotionally and mentally invested in what you're doing. Mm. And I get it. It's different. And maybe that's why we should applaud Michael Jordan the way that he did in his final season. But the truth of the matter is, like, it's difficult to keep your focus when you know what? I'm not going to be doing this anymore. I'm going to be doing something else next season.
So my, I think what ends up happening, and we saw this a little bit with the Panthers and the Saints when we talked about them yesterday, we tend to do this thing where we're so hype about the start of the NFL season and we finally see game action and all the things that we've been talking about all just kind of, like, the best way I can describe it is like this, it's like this throw up, right? You've binged on previews all off season. And then, because you're so bloated on it, you decide, you know what? Oh, man. One more. And then you have that one more, and then all of a sudden you just, blah. That's week one, man. I really have no other way to describe it other than that. And you've binged on so much so that you finally have your game action, and you can, okay, this is how the rest of the season is going to be. And we saw a weird, uncharacteristic performance by the Green Bay Packers in week one against the Saints. We assigned way too much credit to the Saints and Jameis Winston. So we thought about, and I'm guilty of this, by the way. I'm not saying this as though I've reached the mountaintop and I've reached enlightenment as it relates to watching football. Okay.
Sure.
I'm guilty of this. And I saw the Saints and what they did to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and thought to myself, damn. The Panthers are going to have a really freaking hard time dealing with that. Of course, injuries come into play, and as you like to call Jameis Winston, we tend to forget that he's a sunny day player.
Yeah.
He's a sunny day player. And the Panthers made it so that it wasn't all that sunny for him, and you saw him revert back to the Jameis Winston we've come to know and love, sarcastically, in the NFL. So when we see the Packers in action last night, and the first half, my brother texted me. He goes, why does Aaron Rodgers look annoyed after every play? This is what we do with Aaron Rodgers now. We're just, are he and Matt LaFleur like not seeing eye to eye? Does he not like the play calling? You know, why are they being so patient? Even the Mannings were talking about this little bit last night.
With a two deep zone. Yeah.
Yes. Where they were making Aaron Rodgers have to be patient and that they were just waiting for Aaron Rodgers to get frustrated and just try to throw it. Of course, they got out of that coverage and he made them pay, but they were still trailing at halftime. I was surprised by that because, look,
your guy looked good last night.
We can have our fun with Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Detroit Lions. We can have our fun with, you know, eating kneecaps and everything else. I like his straightforwardness, but that's not a good Lions team. And they were making Green Bay look very vulnerable last night. And if it wasn't for an Aaron Rodgers performance in the second half – and they ended up blowing him out. I mean, we're in full DEFCON mode when it comes to the Packers.
And Bomani Jones made this point on Twitter last night. Like, Anthony Lynn, who's the offensive coordinator, like, Jared Goff looks fairly functional.
A little bit functional.
I thought it was interesting, the one tidbit I took from the Mannings. They noted that Goff has the wristband. Mm-hmm. Because you remember the problem with Goff with Sean McVay was in the helmet calling the plays, reading the defense. Well, now, basically, they're just what the Lions are doing with Goff is they're giving him a play number. He looks at the wristband, calls the play in the huddle.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know? some people need to be led to the water on every occasion, and that's fine. I thought he played well. I thought he looked good. Hockenstein looked good. They're just missing a couple skill guys.
So back to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, and you mentioned Brissett, and I think this is how it's going to be week in, week out with Aaron Rodgers because of the situation that he helped create in Green Bay. This is of his own doing with the way that he played things in the offseason. And while there was some question after week one's loss to the Saints about whether or not they were engaged, were they excited, were this, that, you know, trying to read moods and energy and vibes, Aaron Rodgers was asked about that last night, and he was in a mood.
Yeah, I thought they played good. I thought Josh played really good. You know, it's just a feeling. That's not based on, you know, anything I've watched yet, but it just felt like he played really good. And if he's playing good, yeah, I expect those guys next to him to be locked in as well. I'm not done yet. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, pause right there. I'm not done yet. Oh, okay. What other wisdom do you have for us? Nah, I'm just being an ass. Sorry. What do you got? I love Aaron Rodgers. All right, continue.
That's okay.
I just was going to ask the comment you made about trying to show you like you care a little bit more. Does it look, obviously you cared last week, but do you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying? What do you, you know, how do you take that?
I just think people like to say a lot of bullshit, and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Wait for it.
There you have it.
There you go.
His little smile, then his little smirk. It's like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew exactly what he was doing. And then he also knows what he's doing because he hops on his buddy's show, Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee's got a show on SiriusXM, live streams on YouTube, I think. It runs from noon until 3. And he called in to Pat McAfee's show, I guess, to kind of like further elaborate on this stuff. And it seems like Aaron Rodgers is having a hard time with, all right, I'm going to leave breadcrumbs out there for everybody to speculate, and then I'm going to get mad at the people who are going to speculate and read into everything that I'm doing, even though that's exactly what I want.
It's way different age because I think all these people who are on these shows now believe they're celebrities, and they believe that they have this platform to, you know, use it to say whatever the hell they want. And that's how they garner the attention. That's how they get promotions. That's how they get to be on multiple networks. That's how they, you know, get their name out there and get a blue check mark and get to go to the Met Ball and whatever the hell's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the society we're in now.
All right, I'm sorry. Get a blue check mark and then go to the Vet Ball as though he's trying to like go after elitist media. Dude, that's exactly what you are. You're living the celebrity life with your celebrity girlfriends, going to Hawaii and doing all these. That's always my favorite thing.
Oh.
When somebody's like, psh, all these hoity-toity people who want to go to the Met Ball. Dude, if you were dating somebody in your celebrity circle that wanted to go to the Met Ball.
One of them, one of the hot ones from the newsroom. One of the Olivias.
Olivia Munn.
What was the other one? Wilde?
There's Olivia. Oh, no. Was he dating Olivia Munn or Olivia Wilde?
Olivia? I can't keep the Olivia
I think it was
straight.
Olivia Wilde.
Maybe both.
Olivia Wilde was in Tron. I remember that.
Is he married now? Did he marry Chalene?
I don't know. Man, I can't keep up.
Let me ask him.
I can't keep up.
You're on it.
But he's like, oh, these people, he's talking about media people being like, they're treated like they're celebrities.
Oh, sure.
This is a deal as old as time in sports. Well, if it's not the person
because
I'm
he's
telling
not going to work in the media when he's done. Well, the second he retires.
There's that, number one. Number two, you know, when I got here in 2005, look, man, if things were different, you'd be complaining about the columnist who thought that they were the big kahuna in town, right? If it wasn't the columnist, you'd be angry at the sports talk radio station in town that was talking about you. These people think they're celebrities, as if people at ESPN like Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann at the height of SportsCenter weren't freaking celebrities, as though Stu Scott wasn't a freaking celebrity at the height of SportsCenter. Like this business, they think they're celebrities. They've always thought they were celebrities. There's an entire book about this. Did you ever read ESPN's Those Guys Have All the Fun? The oral history? They've always thought they were celebrities. So that's nothing new, but I guess Aaron Rodgers just wants to get the people going. So I give him credit for that. And he certainly got people going last night with his performance, because all my little gripes aside with Aaron Rodgers, he was fun to watch last night. He made some incredible throws, including that touchdown where only the receiver could catch it. I think as Manning joked on the Manning cast last night, the ball caught the receiver, not the other way around. And this leads to people like Ryan Clark on Get Up This Morning on ESPN. Once you see Aaron Rodgers go full Aaron Rodgers, you can't help but fall in love with the 37-year-old.
12. I don't think they do. And we get enamored with Patrick Mahomes because I believe Patrick Mahomes tries some things that Aaron Rodgers doesn't necessarily try. Mm-hmm. Like, Aaron Rodgers could throw a no-look pass if he wanted to. Aaron Rodgers could throw the football with his left hand if he wanted to. Right. He just chooses not. But we're talking about when somebody's feet are set and you're asking them to do something with the football, Aaron Rodgers can put it anywhere he wants to at any time he wants to, and that's on the level with anyone that's ever done it historically. I've said it over and over again. I played the Peyton Mannings. I played the Tom Brady's. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever played against. I'm not saying the greatest because that comes with accolades. Mm-hmm. But when you play Aaron Rodgers, Scott, you can have the exact defense dialed up. You can be in the exact place that your coach told you to and that God gave you the ability to. And right. then you realize God gave him just a little bit more than he gave me.
That's Ryan Clark.
Sounds like a boy band song. God must have spent a little more time on you.
Ooh, that's acapella of the news tomorrow.
That's a good one.
Is that 98 degrees?
That in sync.
Was
I'm
in
99%
sync.
Sure.
Yeah, that was in sync.
Oh, 98 degrees was Una Noche.
Yes.
That was
yeah,
their
give
one
me just
hit.
One night. No, they had a couple hits, actually.
Oh, come now.
They did. Give me just one night, Una Noche.
The only Spanish words in the whole song were
was, that was actually like
just
their
a
third.
Naked cash grab.
I want to say that was like their third hit, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, I do cherish you. Hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Una Noche is not even in there.
It's not even a top five of on Spotify right now.
What? Yeah. Only 4 million? That has to be wrong.
No, that's clearly what it is. I Do Cherish You has 82 million listens.
I may have to bump back with that on the other
82
side.
82 million listens
that's,
on Spotify
that's
right now?
That's a lot. How many of that are like Nick Lachey's mom?
No, that probably gets played at a wedding.
It's all Jessica Simpson just angry at night, late night.
Maybe.
Hitting the Spotify.
But that's the thing, what Ryan Clark alludes to about Aaron Rodgers is the classic conversation about Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady is the most accomplished QB in NFL history.
Yeah.
He's the most accomplished player in NFL history. If you ask me who the greatest NFL player of all time is, I'm going to tell you Tom Brady. I know some people ride for Joe Montana. That's fine. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong with Joe Montana. I'm just talking about the sheer longevity, record books, and Super Bowls. I don't care if he lost a couple and Joe Montana never did. The point is he went to all of them. All right? You still got to get to all of them. It's Tom Brady. However, Tom Brady doesn't make plays like that. And when Aaron Rodgers does it, yeah, man. I've been joking a lot about how you need a cigarette after the fact. Yeah, you probably need a cigarette after some of those throws from Aaron Rodgers. I can see why you fall in love. You fall hard for Aaron Rodgers after moments like that. Let's answer some Hey Joe questions. We'll get Dennis Cox in here to sing a few while you are on hiatus.
While I'm resting.
Yes.
Hey, listen, go for it.
No, yeah, man.
Just go for it. First up in Hey Joe from Grant on Twitter. Hey Joe, is J.J. Redick the rare Duke player that suddenly became likable once he left Duke?
Yeah, J.J. Redick announced his retirement today from the NBA on his YouTube channel. He's 37 years old, which makes me feel even older than I am right now. He said, all good things must come to an end. It's a cliche that it's used often, but rarely does it hold true in any sort of meaning. This, however, is not one of those instances. So went on to talk about how he's just getting ready to call it a career. Redick had a really good NBA career, all things considered. Drafted by the Orlando Magic, spent one season with the Milwaukee Bucks, spent a few with the Clippers, a couple with the 76ers. He was part of that Duke New Orleans team, right? It was like all ex-Duke players there for a bit. And then he with the Dallas Mavericks. But he's calling it a career.
15 years. If you would have told me when he left here, when he left Duke in 06 after they failed to reach the Final Four, mm-hmm. hey, yeah, J.J. Redick, who at the time was the leading scorer in ACC history, he's going to play in the NBA for 15 years. I would have been like, are you sure? And he probably owes at least half of his NBA money to Steph Curry, but that's another topic for another day.
I mean, look, he's third in 3-point field goal percentage in the NBA.
Like, but I mean, behind 15 years in the NBA, not a lot of guys get there.
And that's what I'm saying. J.J. Redick had a skill. And this is something that Lavelle Moton, the NC Central head coach, likes to tweet about from time to time. And when he's been on with us, he likes to say this too. Not everybody's LeBron.
Right.
Not everybody is the guy, okay? You need to have guys who understand their roles. And it's the one thing that J.J. Redick always understood, and that's how you last for as long as you did in the NBA. Can I shoot threes? Yes? Then I'm going to have a role in the NBA. But, you know, what's funny is because
Did he become more likable or did he grow up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to have that much fame and that much attention that he did. Because you have to remember, it was him and Adam Morrison from Gonzaga. And it was right at the time where one and duns were going pro. Like, none and duns were going pro.
Yeah.
So, like, the best players in that little window there weren't in college basketball. So, suddenly you had these two, I'll point out the obvious, slightly unathletic white guys who could shoot and score, but were we convinced that anything they did was going to translate to the NBA?
No, we all knew that Adam Morrison was going to be a bust the minute he was drafted.
And he got hurt, but...
He got hurt, yeah.
But it was like he was in college basketball. They were the stars of college basketball at a time when the best high school players were going directly to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And it created this vacuum. And Tyler Hansbrough was able to take advantage of this too, where they were able to cobble together really incredible careers in college. And then for him to have the success that he did in the NBA. But I guess what I'm getting at is to be able to handle all of that attention in those 05 and 06 seasons, like, that's asking a lot. Like, was J.J. Redick as bad as Grayson Allen?
No.
Did he ever have, like, these hissy fits and tripping people and whatever else
Let's just call what J.J. Redick was at that time. He was the good white player at Duke that people don't like.
Yeah.
In a long history of the good white player...
Wasn't Leitner. He didn't stomp on anybody.
No, and he got roasted.
Was
by
Bobby Hurley?
He got roasted by Maryland fans. Like the most egregious, like the two most egregious things that he did while he was at Duke that I can remember. Actually, there's like a handful of them. Maybe there's a handful, but they're really not that big of a deal. There was a time he was like caught hot boxing in a dorm at Duke.
Right.
You know, like they basically.
No, he smoked a lot of marijuana as a freshman.
Yeah,
he's come out and said
said that he got his head right. He grew up. I would expect that out of a college student, right?
Yeah,
you're gonna grow up. You're in college, freshman at Duke. Come on now, right? So he got busted because he was checking his email while somebody was smoking weed in the dorm. I think that was the excuse.
Yeah.
And they had Towley wrapped up right there at the bottom of the door. There was when ESPN turned what was actually rap lyrics into poetry, and they tried to make a thing out of that. But he hit a lot of threes. He got covered because he was at Duke. And that right off the bat sets you up to not be liked in the ACC, especially when you go on to be a two-time ACC Player of the Year and a two-time ACC Tournament MVP.
The radio guy, Rosenberg, owes his entire career to J.J. Redick.
Oh, well,
he was at Maryland. This is why Duke sucks.
Yes.
He came up with that. And
Peter Rosenberg.
The last game he played at, I think it was still Cole. No, it would have been the Comcast Center at that point. That was one of the most disgusting fan displays I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there when they were saying awful things to Debbie Yao when she came back with NC State.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there, but I wasn't there when in the middle of the national anthem, they screamed out, F you, J.J. Redick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, listen.
That's Maryland for
Please,
you.
Please, come on. But did he do anything egregious in college? Like a Leitner? Like Grayson Allen? No. But I also think he became more likable in the NBA, where it was probably like, you know what? This is what my role is.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm good at. I can shoot threes. And guess what? He's really good on his podcast.
He's very good on his podcast. And obviously, he'll continue to do that going forward. Next up.
Alrighty, next up from Josh on Twitter. So, hey, Joe, Thursday night football, Panthers, a rookie quarterback you've never heard of. The Texans win, right?
Let's not get crazy now.
Come on, y'all.
Panthers play good defense. I think they can win enough games with their defense this season. And listen, their offense, it's not like gangbusters, but it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
I really just want them to figure out the kicking situation, because if you want to win with defense, it goes hand in hand with having an efficient kicking game. But this is not one game. This is not the one I'd worry about. Now, the Texans are going to fight. They fought in their opener. Mm-hmm. They won. They fought last week against the Browns, despite losing Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is like Pigpen from Peanuts, right? Like, it's just, things just follow him around. Like, I hate it for him.
Next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
Next up from Bill on Twitter. Hey, Joe, would you wear a loved one's ashes while playing a football game?
This happened last night with the Green Bay Packers.
It was Aaron Jones, wasn't
where
it?
Where Aaron Jones had, like, I guess a pendant with his dad's ashes on it, and then it got lost in the crowd.
On the field.
On the field.
Yeah.
On the field. So here's Aaron on losing the ashes of his dad.
He was really on my heart. I actually have a chain with a football, and his ashes are in it. I scored, and it fell off in the end zone, so I'll go look for it, but I know he's happy. He'd be happy. He was like, if you lose it anywhere, lose it in the end zone. So.
You haven't found it?
I haven't. The grounds crew was looking for it, though. So.
Oh, we got to go get
we'll
that.
Find it. We'll find it.
So they found it.
They did.
They actually found it today.
Hey, maybe just keep that in the locker room or on the bench. Sit next to it. Like, rub it for good luck like a rabbit's foot before
I mean, I'm guessing having recently cremated two cats, you get a lot of ashes.
So you have Roy on you right now? Or
I don't have Roy on me right now. Okay. No, I have Roy and Ollie in the house.
Okay.
In little boxes with ashes.
Maybe for the beer mile, you'll get a pendant and put them.
Maybe I would. But my point is,
can taunt me because, you know.
That's right. It's like, I'm going to get Jaleel one last time. I beat him in picks. Now I'm going to taunt him in this beer mile. No, but like Roy was a pretty substantial cat. He was an absolute unit. So we got a large box of ashes. So I'm sure I could take like a tablespoon of ashes and put it in some sort of pendant and take with me. Maybe not a tablespoon. That seems like a lot of ashes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So my point is, if you lost some ashes,
you can make another one.
Can make another pendant. I'm just saying. You just go to the vase. This is a very morbid conversation.
But you also have a lot of trust that those ashes really are what you think they are.
I'm going to believe that those are... I mean, hell, I paid enough for it.
Yeah.
I would hope that those are my cat's ashes in those
but
boxes.
But how would one even discern that is what I'm getting at.
I don't know. All I know is that
like, you really think the crematory is not back there like, all right.
I don't know.
Here's a whole vat of ashes.
I would like to think.
We'll just scoop some out. Oh, yeah, that was Roy. Oh, that one's Ollie over there. Sure.
I would like to.
That one's Aaron Jones' dad.
I would like to think that when I get cremated, those will be mine.
Those are yours.
Okay.
I'm just saying, unless your family cremates you themselves, I would not trust the crematory.
Which, by the way, when you guys do receive my ashes, you guys will get a small little box of ashes. I need for you to play the Fox injury music.
Oh, don't worry. It's.
And then please sprinkle my ashes
in
into
the
carpet of the studio.
And won't be able to take a nap.
So it's vacuumed up later.
You think they vacuum in here?
That's fair.
No, they do.
They do?
Trust me, from our hallway golf, they've been steam cleaning these things.
I know, it changes. That's a morbid conversation, man.
Oh, you have you not had that? Well, have you not had that conversation about what happens when you go?
No.
Like, I know what's going to happen when I go.
You're 34. You need a living
will. I need to think about these things. I've said I want to be cremated.
You just said it's a morbid conversation. I'm echoing that sentiment.
Right, but I don't mind morbid conversations. All I know is that when I go.
I'd rather talk about me than my cat. Like, God.
Either that or you guys do a Darth Vader funeral pyre for me.
Oh, yes.
Like, you basically surround me with all of the dead Christmas trees and light me on fire.
Oh.
Okay.
Game of Thrones style. Yes.
And then do that. Dragons come out of
and
that.
And then when I'm up in flames, Fox injury music, please.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Joe Obvious was 107 years old. He is now not questionable to return.
Yeah, no, I'm on the permanently...
You're on the puff list.
I'm on the permanent puff
permanent.
List.
Permanently unable to perform.
Sorry, I'm still shook from our previous conversation, which I'm guessing will be in the best of podcast, where you got me second guessing as to whether or not those are Roy's ashes in the box.
No, now we need Rand to get us a crematorium director on the phone.
I got two, yeah.
Because you said there is a communal option.
I paid extra to make sure that Ollie and Roy were cremated and we got those ashes.
Why do you
got to
do this?
Sure.
No, but you said... And I've heard this before because this happened with my parents' dog where there's a communal option.
There is.
Right?
You're going to get some dog's ashes. Maybe some of your, like, maybe some of yours.
How could you possibly perforate
ashes
if it's a communal burning?
I felt the manliness emanating from.
There it is.
Roy's musk was emanating from that box. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, is now joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. What up, Brownlow?
Well, now I look over in the corner and see my own dog's ashes and having some thoughts. So thanks. Thanks for that.
See what Chilio does? Now I'm wondering.
It's the definition of a man's got to live by a code. Like the crematorium director has to live by a code. You have to trust that he's at his word.
Yes, those are my. I paid extra for those freaking ashes. So.
But paying extra does not equal integrity. I hate
honestly,
to be the one.
I was going to say, like, I was so out of it when I was making this arrangement for my dog that, like, I don't even, I don't remember what I paid for. So
oh, I
hopefully
remember.
It's okay.
I had to do it twice in a couple months span. That was really, really lovely. Anyway, let's talk about happier moments. Like the Carolina Panthers being 2-0 to start the season, Brownlow.
I know. Look at that. And look, would you look at that? They have a defense again. This makes me so happy, honestly.
Can that defense stop? Was it Davis Mills? Davis Mills?
Yeah, Julio, I think you'd appreciate this. I said Davis Mills sounds like something that would come from like a PGA Tour name generator.
Yes, absolutely.
Is he on the Ryder Cup?
He could be.
The first time playing?
Yeah, totally. Right. Exactly. Yeah, like he's just some rando on tour. Yeah, no, if we can't beat this quarterback, I'm done. I know that they've had terrible Thursday night football history. Like, I've seen the games myself.
The Panthers have.
The Panthers yes, the have Panthers. Had terrible.
Okay. A lot of teams have, to be fair. But yes, the Panthers especially have had bad Thursday night football history. So.
This was Cam getting hurt against Pittsburgh. That was a Thursday night game.
That was a Thursday night game. Yeah. TJ Watt hit him. I'm sorry, no. Not TJ Watt. No, it was TJ Watt. Yeah, I was getting my Watt brother confused there for a second. Yeah, TJ Watt hit him right there in the shoulder.
I was teaching my son about Cam Newton and showed him that hit and said everything's been different since then.
Pain. Nothing but pain since that hit. So you're right about the defense, but I also feel that there has to be some credit given to the way Sam Darnold has played so far in two games. There is the element of it's just the Jets and it's a Saints defense that was dealing with a lot of injuries. But for somebody who had been questioned, myself included, he hasn't done anything yet to hurt the Panthers. That might change when the schedule gets more difficult, but right now the schedule isn't all that difficult, including the Texans on Thursday.
Yeah, my only freak-out moment with him has been I don't know why they called that a fumble, because it looked like he was trying to shovel pass it. It should have been a pick, I think. I don't know. Like, how would they have credited it if he completed it? Would it have been a pass? I think it would have been a pass. So I don't know why they wouldn't have called that an interception. But whatever. That play was not good, and I yelled a little. But other than that, yes, I'm with you. Like, I've been impressed with him, because you guys know that I'm a doubter. But I have been cautiously impressed, cautiously optimistic. I don't know exactly what the word choice is to use there, but I have owned that I didn't like it, but so far so good. You know, he's done what I wanted him to do as the quarterback. Nothing more, nothing less, really. And I'm not used to people meeting my expectations, so it's a little uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater met everybody's expectations the way that he played last year.
I was gonna say, like,
and then he got hurt.
Forget. Yeah, like, he played well early.
He got hurt. Christian McCaffrey didn't play. And I think all that stuff is relative to the conversation. And you're seeing what Teddy Bridgewater is doing in Denver, another team that's 2-0. Has he been otherworldly? No. But he's giving you what you would expect out of Teddy Bridgewater. So I guess the question is, the Panthers starting out 2-0, there's only one time in their history where they've started out 2-0 and didn't make the playoffs. And I believe that was 2002. And you look at how things have played out in the division. The Saints are struggling right now, and Jameis Winston clearly is not Drew Brees, as we found out in week two. The Atlanta Falcons are not good. Tampa's going to be Tampa. So this is kind of, it's not, like, the Panthers are not a Super Bowl contender, but there's no reason why they can't flirt with the playoffs, given what we've seen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, especially if they're able to, you know, get through an ugly Thursday night type of deal and beat a bad team and get to 3-0. Yes, I will feel pretty good about where they're at right now and in position to make the playoffs. If you're not going to make the playoffs, you better get a good draft pick. So that's kind of where, you know how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. Don't go, no half measures, right? Be good enough to make the playoffs, make a run, you know, get some of these young guys some nice experience, or be bad enough to get a good draft pick. And clearly they're not, it does not appear that they will be bad this year. So that's nice to see.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Obvious. I'm Joe Giulio. I have bad news for you, Lauren. The Panthers are not going to make the playoffs. Tampa Bay is going to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two wild card teams, I believe, will come from the NFC West. But maybe even the Saints. But the good news I'm with you. They're not a bad team, and maybe my 9-8 was off, and maybe 10-7's in play.
Look at that.
And that's a lot of progress from five wins last year. I mean, it is. It's legit progress.
It totally is. Yeah. And look, I know what you're saying about giving the offense credit and all that. And it's not that I'm not going to do that. It's just that last year, largely the offense was fine. It
right.
didn't always
even without
the
Christian.
Zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But the defense was horrible. Like, at times. Sometimes it was okay, and those games were great. But when it was bad, it was real bad. I mean, again, there were multiple games where, like, teams did not punt until the end, you know?
Right.
Like, that was not going to get it done against anybody. And so, and I just, you know, I grew up with this team loving the defensive guys first, to be honest. Like, that was kind of how I fell in love with the Panthers in the first place. It doesn't feel right watching them when they don't have a good defense, you know? I think Cam spoiled us with quarterback play for a little bit there because, you know, Panthers fans were used to watching garbage at quarterback for the most part. Or, like, slightly dressed up garbage, usually, you know. I shouldn't say that about, Jake DeLome. Like, some guys would have some good years here and there. It'd be kind of fleeting and it would go away. And the defense, though, has been a mainstay. And it's very nice to see it. And you just, all of those shots that they kept replaying of sacking Jameis Winston, it gave me life, to be honest with you.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALsportsFan.com, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. She's on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. A toast to the Panthers for being 2-0. Thanks to Bud Light. Can they get to 3-0? We'll find out Thursday. You can listen to that game here on 99.9 The Fan. Switching over to college football, Brownlow, where North Carolina finally looked like the high-flying North Carolina that we anticipated at the beginning of the season that was slowed down at Virginia Tech. They responded in needing a win in the Coastal to make sure that they can still achieve what they want to achieve in the ACC. And I also thought it was interesting too that they responded to the way that Virginia was talking about this team. They essentially called them soft. They came out and showed them, "No, we're not soft."
Yeah, it was, I did not expect it for sure. Like, I know that they've been talking or whatever, but honestly, when I saw the quote, I was like, I get why that would fire up North Carolina, and I get that sometimes you need an edge or whatever, or it's something you can rally around or whatever you want to say. But at the same time, like, there were no lies in that quote, you know? Like, the guy said, like, they'll come out and play well early, and we will wear them down. And that is what has happened in the last few years against Virginia. Like, it's just straight up what happened. And the opposite happened in this game. And it was weird. It was like watching Brennan Armstrong play the role of Sam Howell in Virginia games past, sort of, where, like, he's doing everything he can, but it doesn't matter because his defense isn't helping him. And, yeah, I mean, I was impressed with the way they ran the ball. Like, if you would have told me before that game that they would rush for more yards against Virginia this year with these running backs compared to last year, I would have laughed at you. And yet, here we are. I was impressed by that. And the defense, they've come out rough to start these games. We've kind of seen that. It's still improved. I think you can see that it is improved. It is not like last year's defense, but it doesn't have to be. You know, this is what I've been saying all along. They don't have to be Clemson's defense. They just have to be okay.
Yeah.
And they've been coming out after halftime better. Twice now they've done that, which I think is a good sign too, because it shows that you're, you know, making adjustments and everything else. So I've been for the most part impressed. Obviously, throw the first half against Virginia Tech in the trash can, but everything else has been good.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Virginia Tech because this led to some of the questions that we received for the show, some of the questions that we addressed on the ACC Panic Room, and I think this applies to both NC State and to North Carolina. You see the results of teams they lost to, and you point back and you go, "Well, what the hell happened with y'all?" So, like, Virginia Tech loses to West Virginia over the weekend, and people are looking back at
that Maryland.
Game. Yeah. Yeah. So, and they're looking back to that Virginia Tech game and going, how come you couldn't move the ball against this team? What happened here? And then there's NC State, where they could not do anything right offensively against Mississippi State. Mississippi State continues to be a team that has the ball moved on them. Just, I guess, NC State couldn't do it. So, North Carolina came out and answered some of those questions on Saturday against Virginia. Now it's NC State's turn to answer some of these questions against Clemson on Saturday. Now, it has to be said that Clemson's defense is still legit. And if NC State has a hard time moving the ball against Clemson, join the club. But really, what NC State has to truly avoid is a Clemson offense that can't get out of its own way. This can't be the get-right game for Clemson.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we all know the get-right game is coming. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to come. It's going to come. It's like, DJ Uiagalelei is too good. I know that they have some issues offensively, like, and we understand what those are. And those aren't just going to magically all get fixed, but they're also not going to be this bad. Like, they're just not. So that combined with the fact that, you know, they've been having a lot of bad stuff talked about them for the last couple weeks. I'm sure they Dabo can point to that and actually have legit things to point to say, like, look at what people are saying about you. Yeah, and I'm afraid of that from NC State's perspective, especially considering who they've lost on defense recently with Peyton Wilson and Cyrus Fagan being out. But we all know that NC State responds well in these types of games traditionally. They certainly don't usually get blown out, right? We haven't seen that in these types of situations, and I think it'll be a close-ish game, but yeah, I do kind of fear for NC State's sake that at some point Clemson's offense will figure it out, and that won't be too good.
No, that won't be too good. An update. This is from Anna Hickey, who covers Clemson for 24/7 Sports. This is for you, Julia.
Yeah, I saw.
Took three games before Will Shipley earned the starting role. Dabo just announced he'll start at NC State, where so many of his family members went to school. He's the running back. So there's your ball game, right?
We should probably try to get Anton Gill on this program this week. I think we could do that.
For those who don't remember Anton Gill, Julio.
Anton Gill was, who's from Raleigh, mm-hmm. did like barely played for Louisville the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
NC State gets to the Sweet 16 up in Syracuse after beating a Villanova team who would then go on to win two of the next three national championships. They play Louisville. And Anton Gill, the kid from Raleigh, comes off of the bench, scores like 7 points in a 2-minute span yeah. to break the game open in the second half for Louisville, and yeah. NC State ends up losing. And then Anton Gill, literally, after Louisville lost in the Final Eight, the next day decided to transfer from Louisville.
Yes. That's the best part of that, honestly.
And I had to give Ralston Turner the shout-out. He was on that team, and he was like, too soon, man. Too soon.
He's like, my work here is done.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I played spoiler to the team from Raleigh.
Yeah.
It was always somebody from Raleigh, right?
Well, like we'll talk more about that game next time you're on Thursday, Lauren. We'll see you then.
All right.
So if you watched Monday Night Football last night, based on my timeline, Julio, nobody was watching the main broadcast, which is unfortunate because Lewis Riddick is actually really good in the Monday Night Football booth. But if you just based it on your social media timeline, nobody was watching Monday Night Football on the main broadcast. They were all watching the Manning cast last night. And there were a couple of I almost feel like we're just going to have to do like how we did with The Last Dance,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Where when the Michael Jordan documentary dropped for those 5 weeks, we sat there, we were like, broke down what happened on the show. Mind you, we had nothing else going on, but it actually made for some pretty entertaining television.
We were in the desert.
We watched it as a family. And I think we're kind of doing that with the Manning cast on Monday Night Football. And there were a couple of moments last night that were pretty entertaining, including a back and forth between Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, where Manning predicted a play, but it did not actually happen, and Eli came in with the savagery.
A little play action shot here for a touchdown. Lions to go up early. And that's about what I know. A run up the middle for one yard. Yep, nice call,
Romo.
Nice call.
Good nice call, Romo. Call Romo. Jeez. Because Tony Romo on CBS has this ability to call up the play before it even happens. And then Eli Manning told Brett Favre, who was a guest for some awkward television, but whatever. Some of that is by design. Eli Manning telling Brett Favre about the time he snuck into a bar underage just to see him.
In a row, I think. Past Christiane, Mississippi. I had snuck into a bar, and you can do the math. I was born in 81, so I was about 17. I had snuck in, hopped the fence and snuck into a bar. I saw you shooting fence? Pool. I introduced myself to you, and you asked if I wanted to shoot pool and hang out. And my buddy did not jump the wall with me. He was too scared. So I went out, and I was like, Brett Favre's in here. We're about to drink a beer and play pool with Brett Favre. You got to jump it. He would not.
So that was Eli telling Brett that story. You think Brett remembers that?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
He,
Brett, bless his heart, looks like the old person who's looking at his FaceTime, like thinking that it's working, and you're like, back away a little bit. You're good.
He was much better than Gronkowski, who I think was on, as people were joking last night, he's clearly on the
dial-up on the AOL disc. Like, I don't know what he was doing.
He's still rocking an iPhone 3G. Huge headphones last night. But I appreciate Rob Gronkowski of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because he was just being honest about things, including like, yeah, man, I'm not breaking down film. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Why would I do any of that stuff?
My teammate Cam Brate just asked me the other day. He goes, Rob, I have a serious question. He goes, do you ever watch film? And I said, no, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. So I don't know how to answer that. I don't watch film, but I do watch film when the team is showing it. So, and every once in a while I watch games like right now and study them, but I actually, you know, definitely do check the opponent.
I see you taking notes and everything.
Yes, I definitely, and I actually do go up to Tom, because I know Tom watches like, I don't know, 40 hours of film a week. I go, Tom, who's covering me this week? What type of coverages are they doing? I go, that's why I love playing with you, Don. You just know everything.
Perfect for Gronk.
Now I need Tom Brady to be on the Manning cast.
You think he'll do it?
But no, I don't. You know why?
Why?
Because Eli has the two over him.
Yeah.
He would do it if it was just Peyton.
Yeah.
But Eli would be required by law to lord those two dubs mm-hmm. over him.
Yes.
Required. The only person on the planet who could do such things.
Yeah, you're right. That's not happening. Tom Brady's not going on. So one thing that I noticed about the Manning broadcast, if anybody watched it last night, after week one, I said, here's the problem. It's too distracting. If you actually want to watch the game, this ain't it. If you're in it for some back and forth, if you're in it for the interviews that they do, cool. It's a casual thing. No big deal. But if you actually want to watch the freaking game, like 95% of the audience wants to do, then you're going to stick with the main broadcast. What'd they do last night? They got rid of the too cutesy stuff from the beginning. They spent the majority of the time with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning in their little talk boxes to the left of the screen.
Yeah, they adjusted their setup in a much better presentation.
And about 80% of your screen was the football game. Now, mind you, you are kind of watching a football game context-free without play-by-play or immediate reaction to what's going on. But if you want to get into the super nerdy stuff, well, the Manning broadcast continues to do pretty damn well. But it's funny. I don't know. Maybe this is just like, maybe this is one of these things that only matters to me. I don't know. I'm extremely online sometimes. But, like, there were plenty of moments last night where people were just saying, why isn't this the main broadcast? Or how the ratings for the Monday Night Football broadcast, no way, shape, or form are going to be as good as the Manning broadcast. It's the classic case of you and your friends are talking about this on social media, and it seems like everybody's doing it. Except that's actually not the case. I'll give you another example. Did you know the Emmys were on Sunday?
Yeah, only because people were tweeting about it.
Right. If you opened up Twitter on Sunday night and you based what you thought people were watching on the tweets, you would think that the Emmys were the thing that everybody was watching on Sunday. Except when you actually look at the ratings, everybody was watching football. They weren't necessarily watching the Emmys. Now, the Emmys ratings were better than they were the year before. But again, if it's popular on social media, that doesn't necessarily mean it's popular on television. And that's another example with the Manning broadcast, which continues to be entertaining. And I said this to you, Julio, as it relates. I mean, maybe in week three, I'm not going to watch it as intently because what ends up happening is that all the best moments from the Manning broadcast, you know what ends up happening with the best moments of the Manning broadcast?
They end up on social media.
They end up on my social media feed.
It's like Super Bowl commercials.
Which, by the way, is by design.
Right.
They want these things to go viral. They want the traction. So it's all well done in the grand scheme of things. Week two of the NFL is in the books. We have seven teams right now, Julio, that sport a 2-0 record. Two of them you would not be surprised by. I don't think anybody would be surprised by the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-0. And the way Tom Brady's playing has been pretty damn impressive. Also, the LA Rams are 2-0. And this has been more of a, hey, you were a decent quarterback away from looking pretty legit, and so far Matthew Stafford has panned out nicely for the Los Angeles Rams. The five remaining 2-0 teams, I want you to give me the 2-0 team that actually seems legit to you.
Okay.
The Raiders, who opened up with wins over Baltimore and Pittsburgh. The Cardinals, who have beaten Tennessee and Minnesota. The San Francisco 49ers, although they've been dealing with some injuries. Denver, with wins over the Giants and the Jaguars. And, of course, your Carolina Panthers, 2-0, with wins against the Jets and the New Orleans Saints. Of those five teams, which is the most legit at 2-0?
It's not the Raiders or the Broncos. I feel like the Broncos and the Panthers are the same team. Did you give me the Rams as an option?
No, the Rams are not an option because I think we understand okay. that them and the Buccaneers at 2-0 are legit.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the Niners are a team that lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago, had the classic Super Bowl hangover last year, mm-hmm. so I think they're legitimate. Because they've had the year to get over it. I know there's questions about Jimmy G.
Sure.
Their defensive line is just so good. I worry about Kyler Murray, like his durability and his ability to just make it through the season. Like, I watched that Baltimore game against the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and it reminded me a lot of Cam Newton in this sense. Now, Cam Newton is a specimen, right? Like, he could have played linebacker, defensive end.
He could have played anything.
He could have played anything in football.
He absorbed hits. He did not avoid
hits. But it still shortened his career. Mm-hmm. Like, I was watching that Lamar Jackson performance and just thinking to myself, this is what he's really good at, but let's not be surprised if he only plays 7 years in the NFL. Because he's not the specimen that Cam Newton is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have those same thoughts when I watch Kyler Murray, who is outstanding and does a lot of different things, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. And then you realize, like, Russell Wilson really kind of stopped running mm-hmm. after his third or fourth year. Because he was like, you know what? I want to play.
All of his running now is just to avoid people.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
He is the master of extending a play.
He's always been.
And he learned at NC State to get the heck out of bounds because mm-hmm. he took a few shots where he finally learned, you know what? I don't want this.
Got a concussion against South Carolina.
In his very first start.
Yeah.
But for me, with Kyler Murray, I have the same concerns about Lamar Jackson. And it's not a concern. We just have to realize, like it was with Cam Newton, you can only do that for so long until you break down. And that's and you think about that NFC West, and this is why I don't think the Panthers will make the playoffs, because I don't think they're going to win their division, and I think those other teams in the NFC West are pretty good.
About Denver, they have played the weakest schedule so far. The Giants and the Jaguars have given them the weakest schedule.
Sure.
And the Panthers...
But it's not the MAC. It's not like you're playing...
No, I understand that.
You understand what I'm saying? Like in the NFL, there's not... The variance between the worst team and the top team in the NFL is not that wide.
Look at Detroit and Green Bay last night.
Yeah.
Detroit is not a good team. They just don't have the personnel.
I thought they were good.
They were feisty last night.
They were coached up.
They were.
Your guy had them going.
Dan Campbell understood all about eating kneecaps, man. I understand what you're saying about the San Francisco 49ers. The issues would be at running back where they had Raheem Mostert is done for the season, and they had their two other running backs get hurt this particular weekend. So I do worry about their offense given...
But their coach's name is Shanahan, and his dad won a bunch of Super Bowls.
They'll figure it out,
basically, by running backs through that thing.
I don't want to get too caught up with the Carolina Panthers being 2-0. But I will say, given the way that their defense has been playing...
Completely legitimate.
They are a team that can flirt with the playoffs now that they've started off 2-0. And what's funny is we went from last year, everybody falling over themselves to praise Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator. You know who's actually getting his flowers right now? Would be Phil Snow, the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. They made life hell for Zach Wilson when they played the New York Jets. They made life hell for Jameis Winston, who fell into those old bad habits again. And they're likely going to make life hell for Davis Mills, who will be the starting quarterback, the rookie starting quarterback for the Houston Texans on Thursday. Are the Panthers a Super Bowl contender? No. But can they actually show some life and flirt with the playoffs and be a little bit of ahead of schedule from the Matt Rule 3-year process? Based on what we've seen after two games, yes. I still think it's okay to question whether or not Sam Darnold will cost them a game. I also think it's fair to question whether or not Matt Rhule will cost them a game, because they've gotten lucky with the kicking situation. It's not bitten them in the ass yet. But I do feel like special teams is going to bite them in the ass in a really, really inopportune time. So I'm of these squads, the Raiders, I don't know if I necessarily buy the whole Derek Carr resurgence. With the Cardinals, I understand what you're saying about Kyler Murray. Niners, I have issues with their injuries. You're right about the Denver Broncos being very similar to the Carolina Panthers in that they got a really good defense, yeah. They got a suitable quarterback at Teddy Bridgewater, and they've played a terrible schedule so far.
Yeah. It's the pointing Spider-Man meme.
It really is at this point. And it's good to see Teddy Bridgewater succeeding in Denver, but again, very similar to what's going on with the Carolina Panthers. Now for the 0-2 teams. We have the Jaguars, the Jets, the Lions, the Falcons, the Giants, the Vikings, and the Colts, all 0-2. Of these 0-2 squads, any of them going to have any semblance of a decent season? Can they claw out of this at this point in time?
Man, if the Colts had a better backup quarterback, I would say yes, because of the construction of that team. It's a playoff team from a year ago. And the division they play in is quite frankly not very good. So I would not rule the Colts out yet, even without Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
The rest of them,
the Jaguars,
Urban Meyer.
They're done.
They're already done.
The Jets were
dead on arrival.
Yes. The Jets were always going to be a work in progress, yeah. And now it's just a matter of making sure that Zach Wilson isn't ruined for life.
Yeah, they don't pull a David Carr with him.
The Falcons, I think we understood, were going to be bad, and we're seeing the end of Matt Ryan.
I know, and I have such a soft spot for Matt Ryan, but they stink out loud.
The Giants.
The Falcons are one true measure you can look at in the NFL is point differential.
Sure.
It's an actual league that it matters. In two games, the Falcons are minus 49. That's kind of sort of hard to do.
The Giants are the other team that I would say at 0-2, don't count them out for two reasons. One, the loss to Washington was a cumulative effect. Daniel Jones looked okay.
Yeah, he was good.
It was some boneheaded mistakes. Odd that a Joe Judge team, which is supposed to be disciplined, wasn't all that disciplined, but that's another story altogether. But number one, I don't think that the way that Daniel Jones has played would give you an indication that the Giants are bad. The other reason why I would say the Giants aren't out of it, what division do they play in?
The NFC East.
That is the ACC Coastal of the NFL. You're never really out of it in the NFC East. Ever. Because Washington's going to do some boneheaded things. Obviously, the Giants will be doing that. I don't trust the Dallas Cowboys. At least under Mike McCarthy. So there's any number of reasons why you can look at the NFC East and with Phil, and obviously Philly being Philly. So you can look at the NFC East and say, yeah, you know what, Giants, you're 0-2, but I've seen this movie before in the division and all hell breaks loose.
I'm going to disguise this very cleverly.
Okay.
Cleverly.
Yeah, yeah,
cleverly.
You got it.
The Giants need to start throwing the ball to Saquon Barkley. They need to involve him more in their offense.
Kind of like what the Panthers do with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he's running 12 times a game right now. And sometimes what's good for my fantasy team is good for your actual team, Joe Judge. And if he can't play, don't play him. Mm-hmm. Because what they're doing right now is he's useless. If you don't use him to the fullest extent, which means including him in the passing game, he has no value. But if you unleash him a little bit, because that is the one playmaker they have on their team, well, maybe you could have a little more success.
Yeah. It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Well, boys, you know what day it is?
Tuesday?
Tuesday, September 21st.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Earth, Wind, and Fire Day.
It's Earth, Wind. It's just like April 30th every year. It's going to be May.
Yeah.
We had to ask if you remember.
Do you remember?
And you know, last night Green Bay made us remember. Thoughts and prayers.
Do you remember the 21st day of September? Rogers just put the Lions in a blender. Waited to hear what Dan Campbell'd say. Detroit was biting, and the game was surprisingly exciting. The Mannings had a good night with new members. No fire alarm went off today.
Yeah.
What? What did you just say?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Relax, it's just September. Things look better 40 Green Bay. It was all there.
Okay.
It's the best part about that was you had like six or seven takes of that that you could hear.
What, you could hear that?
Through the studio walls.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, jeez. What exactly is Ran cooking up back there?
Might have to take Acapella the News off the rest of the week just because of that one.
Might need to do that. You might need to do that.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.